要走。
喂。
那我。
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We come from Woolwich Evangelical Church down at Woods Hill. I'd like to read just a few verses of warning and invitation from the scriptures. Here are the words of King David, written about 1,000 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, friends, he speaks of a great and a glorious king, the Messiah. The one long expected, long awaited, long foretold, and friends, one vital for us to understand and to know of this morning. Here is the Messiah, the great Hebrew king, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And here's what David says of him. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Oh, friends, look at the Lord Jesus Christ on earth. There was not much to see. He had no form nor comeliness that we should desire him. But look at his character, look at his works, look at what he did at his death, and how he rose from the grave. And oh, friends, there is something far more marvellous than any other human life that has been lived. There in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his birth and his death and his miracles and his teaching, was something that far surpasses every other hero, every other teacher, every other prophet. Here indeed was one full of truth and grace, full of inward majesty. And oh, friends, don't you know about him? Don't you know about this great prince, this Messiah, the one foreseen and foretold centuries before he came? Here's what David has to say of him. You are fairer than the children of men. No man's life compares with Christ. No one, friends, has never lied, never stolen, never snatched the glory of God for himself, unlike the Lord Jesus Christ. In him was a life without blemish, without flaw, without any sore or uncleanness from beginning to end. Look at his life, friends. Read the Gospels for yourselves. Look at the intense pressure and temptation the Saviour fell under. And yet, in every respect, he was without blemish, without flaw. Even his enemies, when they attacked him, said, there's no blame in this man. He's holy. Amen. Look at the life of Muhammad. Look at the life of Confucius. And friends, you'll find many flaws, many faults, many defects. They didn't come under half the pressure, a quarter of the pressure of the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't show half the meekness or strength. And yet, their lives are filled with filth and stain and soils. But in Christ, there was one without blemish, without flaw, from beginning to end. Look, friends, will you see him exaggerating once, or deceiving once, or speaking ill once? Look at his life. Look at his miracles. Each one of them a portrait of the human heart's depravity and our great need of salvation, our great need of pardon and mercy, our great need of the miracle of regeneration. And yet, friends, to this day, our hearts are dead as stone, cold as ice, hard as a stone, foolish as a donkey. Oh, friends, we need his grace. We need his wisdom. We need his wonderful power. Where will you find it outside of Christ? Where will you find it outside of his eternal Son? Where will you find it outside of that great Messiah? Long foreseen, long foretold, long awaited, and now he arrives. And this is what David says of him. Grace is poured into your lips. Oh, friends, how gently, how patiently he dealt even with his most bitter enemies. Hear what he says from the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Men did their very worst. They showed the height of their depravity and their resistance to truth. But Christ, the Lord God, showed his best. Oh, friends, out of that crucible of fire and unpleasantness came grace, came sweetness, came light. Out of the eater came something forth to eat, as Samson said long before. Oh, friends, look again at the Saviour. Look again at his warning. Look again at his command. Why are you so foolish? Why have you thrown your life away? Why have you neglected your conscience? Why have you neglected principle? Why have you neglected God's command? Why have you neglected his call and his kindness? Dear friends, what is the gain from godlessness? What is the benefit of sin? What is the outcome of unbelief, of turning away from God, of living a life of suspicion and carelessness? Where's the outcome? Where's the harvest you're reaping, friends? Look again at Christ. Look again at his life. Grace is poured into your lips. Therefore God has blessed you forever. And then David goes on in the psalm, Psalm 45, to say this: gird your sword upon your thigh. What is this sword of Christ? How many times, friends, did he, like David, slay his 10,000s? Well, he slew no one with a physical sword, but he slew millions with his spiritual sword. The sword of conviction, the sword of example, the sword of the law of God and the mercy of God that combined with it. Christ slew his millions and slays them today. He brings us low. He helps us to see our sin. He helps us to see our own deceitfulness, our own foolishness. And in that glorious Saviour, that great King of Kings, is a gentleness and a power even to humble the proudest and the hardest of hearts. Go to him. Read his words. Read his glorious warnings. Don't take my word for it, friends. Read the Gospels for yourselves. And there you'll find a great tapestry of wisdom and grace and truth. Every word carefully arranged and calculated to humble us, to wound us, to bring us low, to pierce our very hearts through with a sword of conviction. This invisible sword of his power. Gird your sword upon your thigh, Most High, he says, and so he does. Ride forth in majesty. What is this majesty of Christ? Is it like the Caesar's, dragging his enemies behind him along the chariot, humiliating? No. Christ's great majesty is to humble, not to humiliate. His great glory is to bring the proud sinner low, to help us to see ourselves and our great needs, to awaken our spiritual hunger, to awaken our thirst for reality and for truth. Oh, friends, where's your prayer life this morning? Where's your life of worship? Where's the virtue you owe to God? Where's the life you should have spent glorifying him? You left like a garden of thorns this morning, your heart full of cursing and bitterness and hard things against God. Seek Christ. He is the one who changes us. Whatever you've been, whatever you've done, in Christ is power to cleanse us, to wash us, to humble the proudest of us, to bring us low, and lead us with joy into his presence. Here again, friends, the words of the psalmist: gird your sword upon your thigh, O Most High, and in your majesty ride with glory and with majesty. Ride prosperously. Why? Because of the truth. Now, many of us become very cynical. We say, well, this is a day of postmodernism. Where is the truth? How can you believe the truth? But our friends, some of us wouldn't recognize the truth if it knocks on our door. Some of us wouldn't recognize the truth if it was right next door to us, preaching us in the corner of the streets. Some of us, friends, prefer lies rather than truth. And isn't that true of us by nature? We prefer darkness rather than light. But in Christ is a truth to help us, to humble us, to bless us, to challenge us. In the Lord Jesus Christ is the very embodiment of truth himself. In Christ is God's own incarnate warning to us of the danger of a selfish, carnal and sensual life. Why would you carry on as you are? Why would you go on the broad path? Where's the benefit, friends, in sensuality? Chasing after the senses, pleasing yourself for the here and now. Where's the outcome, friends, of a life lived for self? Where's the fruit of a life lived to the flesh? Ugly, foolish, corrupt it is. Yet in Christ there is something sweet and gracious and powerful to change us, to bless us and to transform us. Dear friends, take his warning to heart. Again, David says this: your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. Why, friends, have you neglected the truth? Why have you neglected God's manifest warning? He's made his ways so plain, so clear, as to leave us beyond reasonable doubt. And more than that, to leave us without any excuse at all. Do you think in the day of judgment, Richard Dawkins will stand up and say, well, what about this genetic evidence? Or what about that detail? Friends, he won't have a leg to stand on, and he knows it full well. I've corresponded with him. In Christ is the embodiment of the truth, a warning and a call and a command to each one of us. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Don't be foolish. Don't be careless. Don't be neglectful of the most vital things of all. Seek him and and turns him while he's still near at hand. Your arrows are sharp in the hearts of the king's enemies. What are these arrows? But words of warning, words of invitation, words of reproof. Oh, friends, is it a benefit to God to damn us? Is it a blessing to God to cast us away from his presence? No, he hates it. He hates to see his own creatures banished and exiled. He hates to see the one he sustained and blessed cutting themselves off from hope and from life. And yet, by nature, that's what we do. Day after day, week after week, we store up for ourselves anger against the day to come. Our lives are a testimony of disobedience. Our lives are a vessel of disgrace against God, an insult to his holiness. We need mercy. We need washing. We need change, and we need it today, not next week or next month. Friends, what is your life when weighed carefully in the balance? Is it stubble? Is it chaff? Fit only to be cast away in the day of judgment? Fit only to be burnt up in the light of his holy law? Fit only, friends, to be cast away from his sacred presence when it comes to the audit, the accounting day? Or is it wheat, something precious, something humble, something valuable, something that trusts him? Oh, friends, take careful heed to his warning and his call and his invitation. Again, in the Lord Jesus Christ, David says this, your arrows are sharp in the hearts of the king's enemies, by which the people fall under you. You know what's happening in Saudi Arabia, friends? There are thousands, even now, of the Arabs and the Saudis who know the Lord Jesus Christ, who meet secretly in their homes. Thousands of those who were once Muslims, who now meet secretly in homes. The same in Algeria, the same in Morocco, the same in Egypt, the same in Tunis. We know of it. In Christ is power to humble his enemies. And our friends, though there are many who have on their identity card written Muslim, even today they love and follow and know the Lord Jesus Christ. What a strange thing. When the so-called Christian nations forsake and forget their Messiah, many of those amongst the Muslim nations are beginning to wake up to the reality and the truth and the call of the living God. Oh, friends, what have you done with his words? What have you done with his warnings? What have you done with his patience? What is your life? When weighed up in the scales, when he considers you, when he looks at you, what is it like? Oh, friends, by nature, we're weak and corrupt and defiled in the sight of a holy God. We need repentance. We need mercy. We need washing. We need that wonderful change that comes only through the cross. Yet in Christ, there is power to bless us, to change us, to address the deepest needs and wounds of our hearts. In Christ is power to wash the darkest and the most foolish of hearts. In Christ is power to raise us up from the dead. Oh, friends, why have you forsaken him? Why have you neglected him? Why have you neglected the truth of God? Why have you neglected his scripture? Why have you neglected his word? Where's the wisdom in doing that? You know, worldly experts, the philosophers, the psychologists, the psychiatrists, where is their strength when it comes to dealing with the malady of the heart? The scriptures say God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. In the fear of God, in the knowledge of God, there is great soundness and strength. But by nature, friends, we're sons and daughters of confusion. We love the things that harm and wound and disgrace the spirit. And where's the blessing in that, friends? Where's the outcome from living for the flesh, living for the senses, living just for the here and now? Dear friends, turn away from sin before it becomes our disgrace. Go to that Saviour, the only Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of the Father, and in him find mercy and grace and power to wash you. This is what David says of him. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The sceptre of your kingdom is a right sceptre. Everything Christ does is wise and right. In his own days, his disciples said, he does all things well. But our friends, how blind, how foolish we are to see it. How slow, how quickly we stumble at small obstacles. How quickly, friends, we take offence at his warnings and his call and his command. He intends the best for us, but we snatch for ourselves the worst of life. Looking to ourselves, looking to our own pleasure, what a mess we make of our lives by nature. In Christ is the great shepherd. In the Saviour There is the great Saviour, the great Redeemer and Rescuer of our spirits. If only you'd seek him, if only you'd take his warning to heart, if only you'd read his invitation and his commands, oh, friends, what real happiness would be yours. But by nature, we're careless. But what was the great holiness, the great beauty, the great attractiveness of Christ? It was this, that you love righteousness and hate wickedness. This is a real characteristic of the Saviour. He loves righteousness and he hates wickedness. How different from us. We love wickedness and we hate righteousness, do we not? We love the things that God hates and we hate the things that God loves. By nature, we're his enemies. By nature, we've turned away from him. By nature, we've turned our backs to the Most High. By nature, we've thrown holiness underfoot and behind our backs. We neglect things for our spiritual purpose. We neglect, friends, the going to a Bible-believing church. Perhaps you will choose a church that tickles our ears and doesn't tell us anything except smooth deceits. But in Christ, there is real mercy, real power, real blessing for those who seek him. In him is a great fountain of life to those who turn to him. Dear friends, what are you doing with your life? Where are you headed after the grave? What is your life in the sight of the Holy One? What is your life, friends, in the sight of the one who will weigh you and even now weighs and examines your hearts? Turn to him for life. Turn to him for grace. In the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, is a great fountain of life to wash our hearts and our minds and our filthy tongues and make us fit for heaven, fit for prayer, and fit for worship. There's no other way by which sin can be taken away except through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour. Oh, friends, here is that Messiah, long foreseen, long expected, the Lord Jesus Christ. In him is the great Son of God. In him is the great warning, the Word of God to us. And oh, our generation needs warning. Our generation needs a red flashing light to teach us where not to go. So careless, so foolish, so neglectful of the things that are for our spiritual benefits. How quick we are to choose the things that harm and wound and disgrace. But in Christ, there is a great lighthouse to bless us, to guard us, to watch us, and to lead us into the way of righteousness. Dear friends, what have you done with your hearts? What have you done with your eternal soul? What are you doing with the souls of your children and your grandchildren? If you've neglected his warning, neglected his call, seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Again, the words of David, the king, he says this, I will make your name to be remembered in all generations. My name will go down in the dust. Your name, perhaps, will disappear very shortly. Christ's name will endure forever. The Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is a name celebrated from generation to generation. Why? Because it's utterly worthy of praise. Utterly worthy of worship and admiration. Utterly worthy of our heart's adoration. There's no one like him, friends. No one like him in character, in work, in death, and in life. The Saviour surpasses all. He has the preeminence in all things. Oh, friends, what have you done with Christ? Taken his name as a curse? Trampled him underfoot? Thrown him behind your back? What have you done with your life? What have you done with your heart? What have you done with your future or your children's future? If you don't know these things, seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. He commands you to follow him. He calls you out of the darkness of a sinful and a foolish life to turn to him, to grace and to life. Oh, friends, turn away from sin. Turn away from sex outside of marriage. Turn away from divorce. Turn away from the things you know wound the soul, wound the family, wreck society, spoil our futures. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Don't harden your hearts, friends. Don't steal your conscience. It won't do you any good. Seek him and turn to him. I'd like to read another of the Psalms where David, or the psalmist, says this. God is our refuge. God is our refuge. Now, friends, a refuge is no good if it's not real, not solid, not immutable, not something that will protect you from the vagaries and the storms. And in God, in his word, in his warning, is like a, there is a rock. In Christ, in his eternal truth, is a rock. Over the years, over the centuries, many have spoiled their hammers on this anvil, the Word of God, the Bible, the Scriptures. Today, many of us say, well, how can you trust the Scriptures? But you know, out of the sands of Israel, every year, new corroborations, new vindications are discovered. Only last year, the seal names of Ahaz, and I think, if I'm right, Uzziah or Jehoash was discovered. You can't really doubt the identity of a person if you have his ID card in front of you. And that's what the archaeologists have discovered. And yet, friends, by nature, how careless, how foolish, how neglectful of these words of warning and of advice. Former generations had a good excuse. They had little data. They had little evidence. They could say, well, where was Ur of the Chaldees where Abraham was brought up? Now we know for sure exactly where Ur of the Chaldees was. Former generation could say, well, perhaps Israel wasn't really a nation until 1200 BC. Now we have no excuse. The Museum of Berlin, the Museum of Cairo has the data. And yet, friends, we still call the Bible a fairy tale. What foolishness. What carelessness. Former generations had the excuse. They didn't know the details, for example, of the corroboration of the kings, the existence of King David. They could say perhaps he was a myth. Perhaps the Bible was collated, as some of the old scholars say, in 600 BC. Now we have no excuse. The archaeologists know full well David was a real historical figure. And yet, friends, we still pretend the Bible is a myth. We still pretend these ancient records are not accurate. How dangerous, how foolish to neglect the historical data. God, let God be true and every man a liar. People love to scoff at the Scriptures, not knowing what they're talking of. But our friends, in the Bible, there is God's own warning to us. God's own heart revealed to us, heart to heart, to call us, to draw us, to warn us, and most of all, to invite us to Himself. What have you done with the Scriptures? What have you done with the warning? What have you done with the invitation of the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come out of darkness, the darkness in which you now live, into His wonderful light, to know His kindness and His grace and His wonderful power, to lift us up out of the ditch of sin, to lift us up out of the cesspool of a life lived in this perverse and sinful generation. Seek Him and turn to Him while He's near at hand. Friends, this is what He says, turn back from sin. What's the benefit of adultery? What's the benefit of sex outside of marriage? It disgraces the family. It ruins the family bond. It wrecks the children. And yet, friends, our society celebrates the things that God hates. Where's the benefit in that? What about Woolwich? When we look at Woolwich, up and down this very street are gambling dens. Some of them, friends, lead on to brothels. This place needs great change, needs repentance, needs mercy, needs cleansing. Where will we go for that cleansing? You won't find it in Muhammad, you won't find it in Confucius, you won't find it in Gautama Siddhartha the Buddha, you won't find it in Guru Nanak, you won't find it, friends, in the other Nanaks, nor will you find it in the writings of the Bhagavad Gita. Only Christ has authority to forgive sin. Who else, friends, lived a blameless life? Who else rose from the grave, victorious over death and sin? Who else was untouched by the taint of selfishness and uncleanness? Only Christ can wash us and change us and bless us. Go to Him while there's still opportunity. Friends, what have you done with your heart? What have you done with your soul? What have you done with your spirit? Where are you going after death? You don't know His grace and His kindness. A man could weep to look at some of you. I'm afraid I won't stop. I won't stop. You can take a calendar if you wish. But
No, I'm not asking you a question. Yep. You don't need a microphone.
No, I don't think so.
No, your voice goes down.
Thank you, but I won't take one. Well, thank you very much.
So
God bless. Yeah, yeah.
God bless.
God bless.
Okay. Where do you go to?
Woolwich Evangelical Church at Wood Hill.
Can I have the
I don't think.
I wasn't about to criticize you.
Yes, I didn't expect that, but this. There we are.
I wasn't about to.
Don't worry.
Just like,
God bless. Yes, God bless. Oh, friends. Here's what the psalmist has to say. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Or perhaps you don't know it. Perhaps you haven't discovered it. A refuge is no good unless it's real, unless it's solid. If there was a hurricane coming, it'd be no good to go to a hurricane shelter that quickly collapsed. But God is not like that. God's word is eternal, immutable, solid, unchanging. You may have misread it, you may have misunderstood it, you may have misinterpreted it, you may have misjudged it. But the things that God says cannot fail. Not one of his words will fall to the ground unfulfilled. Let God be true and every man a liar. God's refuge is strong in the times of heartache and heartache. In Christ is the eternal rock. God is a very present refuge in help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar, and though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, God is our refuge. Friends, don't you know it? Don't you know the reality of his word? Look at Israel. Over the centuries, men and women have said, the Jews are a dead nation, a dying nation. How is it that in fulfillment of ancient prophecy, the Jews have returned to their old lands? Their old language is resurrected from the grave. A new politic, a new state exists in the land of promise. How is it, friends? God has fulfilled these ancient prophecies. And yet, they're unfulfilled in the coming of most of the Jews to Christ. But it'll happen. It'll happen. Many now turning. Oh, friends, what have you done with God's warning? What have you done with God's own word? What have you done with the Torah, the Engil, and the Zabur? What have you done, friends, with that precious invitation to life and to mercy? What have you done with that command to repentance? Where are you headed, friends? You don't know his grace and his kindness. Don't know why Christ died, why he rose from the grave. These are vital things. Many things in life are not so important, but here is the great crux. To know the living God, to walk with him as a friend, as Abraham walked with him. Is God your friend this morning? Or is he a stranger far off? God is our refuge, a very present help in trouble. If you know him, if you walk with him, oh friends, you'll find he's no disappointer. In Christ is one fit to bless us through the harsh storms and difficulties of life. In Christ there is the eternal rock. Seek him, turn to him, ask him for wisdom, for life. Come along, friends, to a church where they won't teach you smooth deceits, where they won't tickle your ears and tickle your fancy. They won't flatter you. They'll warn you and call you and invite you to grace. Come along to Wood Hill, Sunday by Sunday. There the preacher will give you a straightforward message from the Bible about how to seek and to find the Lord. Hopper 6, every Sunday evening. Or other Bible-believing churches where they don't smooth out the rough edges. They preach God's word as it is, not forsaking the whole counsel of God. Oh, friends, God is a very present help in trouble, a very solid refuge. Seek him, turn to him, ask him for grace and for mercy while he's still found. But, oh, friends, it's not enough just to name the name of God. The devils do that and they tremble. In Christ is the way to approach him. In the Saviour, in the Lord Jesus Christ, is the only rock, the only means of approach. We are fit to be rejected and cast off. We deserve nothing but his anger and his judgment. We're fit subjects of hell by nature. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We think ourselves good, but we don't know ourselves. We don't know our own hearts. But in Christ, there is the one to heal us, to warn us, to bless us. Sometimes, in order to help you, a physician has to be very blunt. A doctor has to be very straightforward. Sometimes he has to tell you about the cancer before he'll give you the cure. And so it is with sin. We're blissfully unaware of the deadliness of sin. The most deadly poison of all comes from the tongue, the human heart. You may think polonium or strychnine or arsenic are deadly, but I tell you, the poison of the heart is far deadlier. Far, far deadlier. We need mercy. We need washing. We need grace. Oh, friends, go to the only one with the antidote. Go to the only one with the keys of death and hell, the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one who can bless us, the only one who can heal our crooked hearts, the only one who can set us straight, open our blinded eyes, unstop our deafened ears to hear that music of God's call. Oh, friends, why do you prefer darkness? Why would you prefer willful ignorance? Why would you prefer to neglect the data, neglect the evidence that stares in front of you? When God calls you to judgment, will you have an excuse? Will you be able to say to him, I didn't know, I hadn't heard, I hadn't thought? Well, friends, I, for one, will stand in witness against you. God makes his ways unmistakably plain to those who seek him, unmistakably clear to those who search after him. Don't despise your own mercy. Don't despise your own opportunity of repentance. Don't despise the goodness and the call and the warning of God. While there's still opportunity, seek him and turn to him. This is a wicked and a sinful society, friends. We're at enmity against God. We hate him by nature. We hate the things he loves. We love the things he hates. But he still calls us. He still invites us. He still shows his love toward us in warning us and inviting us to life and to repentance. Where is your life headed, friends, if you carry on as you are now? Dead as you are now? Dead in sins and trespasses? Where are you headed, friends, if you carry on in religious tradition without an understanding of the will and the wisdom of the Most High God? Where's the outcome of living for the flesh, living for the senses, not seeing the unseen, not knowing, friends, the things around the corner, not seeing what lies beyond the grave, not knowing the purpose of life, not knowing the glory of God in his mind? God is a refuge, our refuge, to those who love him, to those who seek him, to those who find him. But oh, friends, if you carry on as you are now in rebellion and hardness of heart, where are you going to end up after death? Where are you going to end up when you're on your deathbed? Where are you going to end up when you're under sickness and in trial? Where are you going to be in the storms of a divorce or in some heartache at home? Where are you going to be in the storms of trial? God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. There is solid reality in his warning and in his words. Don't despise him, friends. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Ask him for grace. Ask him for wisdom. Ask him for mercy. And oh, friends, he is more willing to help us, more willing to stoop down and lift us up than we are to be sought or found. In Christ is the great Redeemer, the great Saviour of our sinful spirits. Seek him and turn to him. Again, psalmist says this, though the waters thereof roar. Have you ever felt that sometimes? The circumstances of life around you seem so perplexing, so difficult, it's as though they're roaring. There is a rock. The Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Word, Saviour of our spirits, is one set to bless us and to help us and to guide us. The great problem with us, friends, is we won't trust him. We won't turn to him. We won't listen to him. We won't understand his word and his call. Oh, friends, the real heart of the problem lies with us, our unwillingness, our lack of desire to seek him and to turn to him. We have no excuse for not knowing his wisdom. We have no excuse for not knowing his real character. We need to seek him and to turn to him. Now is the day, now is the time, now is the opportunity. Oh, friends, the old year is nearly gone. What sort of year has it been? A life of more sin, a life of more rebellion, a life of more hard-heartedness, a life of more folly? Or what's the next year going to be like? Is it going to be more of the same? What will the next year life be like, friends? A life of repentance? A life of seeking after God? A life of seeking after wisdom? A life of benevolence? A life of service and of grace and of kindness? Or a life of self-service? A life wasted by sin? A life stolen by Satan? A life given over to iniquity? A life burdened down by the guilt of many foolish acts and thoughts and words? Friends, you have the whole of the next year ahead of you. The whole of the next year of grace, given to you by God, sustained by his mercy. What are you going to do with it? What will you do with his grace? What will you do with his gift? What will you do with this precious gift of a new year and a new opportunity? Seek his face, turn to him for life and for mercy. I'm not going to stop. God bless you. I'm not going to stop. You're welcome to take a calendar.
Okay.
For next year. Keep you in the narrow way.
Yeah. Can I have more?
Of course you can.
To my neighbor.
Yes. One. Two, perhaps.
Yeah.
God bless.
See the where's your church?
The address is there. Is there?
Okay, Willis.
Evangelical Church in Woodhill. Yeah.
Oh, is time of your service there?
It's on there. It's there, and the website.
Sunday service 11 a.m.
and 6:30.
Then when do you finish?
The service one? Goes on to about 12:15. 12:15. Yeah. Madam, I must carry on, I'm afraid.
And
I must preach.
Bless you.
Yeah.
And the work of kingdom.
Yes. Pray for us. God bless. Friends, I'd like to read just a few verses of the Psalms. Here is what the psalmist says of trouble and difficulty. God is our refuge. If only we sought him. If only we turned to him. If only we asked him for solid wisdom, for the fear of God, for holiness, for righteousness. What's the benefit, friends, in wasting your life on sin? It'll lead to a sorrowful heart. It'll lead to brokenness of heart and many sorrows and disappointments. But wisdom is more precious than gold. The fear of God, more precious than silver. The knowledge of his holiness, the enjoyment of his presence, far more precious than a golden Rolls Royce or a golden Mercedes Benz, which will rot with time. Only Christ can bless your heart and change your circumstances. Only Christ can lift you up out of the cesspool of a sinful life. Only Christ can cleanse you from the inside. Only Christ has the authority and the power to forgive us, to wash us, to bless us, and to give us that gift of divine love. Only Christ stands between us and a horror, a grave of horrors, an abandonment in eternity. Only Christ, the eternal Son of God, the Lamb of God, can deliver us from what we justly deserve by God's mercy. Oh, friends, he's set as a mediator. Where else is there a sinless man? Where else is there a man without sin? Only Christ was without guile. Even David sinned, even Moses sinned, even Samuel sinned. Only Christ was without that touch of Satan. And look at the lives of the prophets, friends, and so often even they have disgraced God. They say it themselves. Listen to the words of Isaiah. He says, "Woe unto me, for I am a man undone. My lips are unclean, and I live amongst a people of unclean lips." But our friends, in Christ is the great fountain of life, to wash us, to bless us. He spilt his own blood by the anointing of his Father to provide a means of cleansing and washing. Oh, friends, don't throw away your opportunity. Don't throw away his grace. In the Saviour is that great Lamb of God, so long awaited, so long foretold, so long predicted by the prophets of the Hebrews. In the Lord Jesus Christ there is the one, friends, of whom Isaiah said just as plainly, "He is the one wounded for our sin. He is the one bruised for our iniquity. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him." Friends, are you going to bear your own chastisement? You're going to be wounded for your own sin? You're going to face the just recompense for what you deserve? Don't do it. Don't do it. God's law is much stricter than you imagine. His requirements much higher, much holier than you think. If we face God as we are now, he is like a consuming fire in his brightness. We need mercy. We need washing. We need change. And oh, friends, that can only be found through the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. In him is the great bread of life. In him, friends, is nourishment for our hungry souls. In him is the great fountain of life to bless us, to wash us, and to change us. Turn to him. While he's still near at hand, ask his wisdom, ask his grace, ask his touch of power. All it needs is one touch. All it needs is one word. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Don't make excuses. Don't be foolish. Don't hide your head in the sand, thinking, friends, there is no God. There is no greater folly than to say there is no God, no creator, no designer. And yet, friends, how foolish we are by nature. How like sheep, so easily led astray, how easily led by our own inclinations and lusts into harm and into hurt and into trouble. Here is the great shepherd, the one set to warn us, the one set to keep us, the one set to bless us if only we turn to him, if only we weren't so foolish, if only we weren't so careless. Oh, friends, what have you done with the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the one who shortly will come to crush his enemies and bring them under his feet? Where do you think the enemies of Christ will shortly be? Where is communism? Why do you think the Iron Curtain fell so quickly? Don't you know about the unregistered Soviet Baptists? Don't you know, friends, about those who resisted? Every kind of pressure that could be brought to bear on them, every kind of torture, uncleanness brought to bear on them, and yet, friends, they were held and kept. What about Mary in England in the 16th century? Oh, friends, the Lord Jesus Christ kept his people faithful, kept his word true, kept his light burning in the midst of the greatest of darkness in our land. And the martyrs preferred flames rather than to renounce their dear Saviour. Why then, friends, would you prefer any old thing rather than follow the Saviour? Any old rubbish will do, any old tittle-tattle on television to keep your mind away from holiness and purity. Friends, don't be like that. Seek him. Turn to him. Ask him for grace and for wisdom. Ask him for a pure heart. Ask him for understanding. Ask him for a knowledge of your own being. Ask him, friends, for a sight of who he is and what he's like. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is power to enlighten us, to help us. You know, friends, we're such an educated generation, and yet so ignorant of basic things. How to create a relationship on the road, how to bring up children in godliness, how, friends, to train our own hearts in self-discipline. So ignorant, well-educated, and yet so ignorant, so godless, so foolish of the most basic spiritual realities. Go to Christ. He is the author of wisdom. He is the embodiment of wisdom. He is God's own word made flesh. There's no other way to learn real spiritual wisdom than to read his words and take his warning to heart. Choose a good translation of the Bible like the Old King James and read it. Pray for God's help. And all friends, you'll find a treasury. It's unsurpassed by all the best things of now. Unsurpassed by all the experts and psychologists and psychiatrists of the day. You'll find treasures, friends, beyond comparison. No corner of the world stores such wisdom and grace as the Scriptures. What have you done with his warning, friends? What have you done with his testimony and his kindness and his grace and his wonderful patience? Don't harden your heart. Don't store up anger against the day to come. Seek him and turn to him while he may still be found. Go to the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, and in him you'll find far more than you expect. Far more than you expect. Whatever your need, whatever your greatest burden, whatever your heartache, friends, bring it to him. Forsake sin, ask him for wisdom, ask him for purity and for righteousness, and in Christ you'll find the fountain of life. You'll find that pure and strong fountain of life to bless us, to wash us on the inside, to slake our spiritual thirst. If you chase after the flesh, you'll end up empty-hearted. You'll end up hard-hearted. You'll end up bitter-hearted. But our friends, chase after righteousness, seek after holiness, seek after wisdom with all your heart, and you'll find a life of real happiness, solid and real contentment, peace that smiles at the grave. Oh, friends, what have you done with his warning? What have you done with his call? What have you done with his gracious invitation? Don't be foolish and turn away your hearts again and again. Don't, friends, go down to the grave in regret for having neglected the greatest wisdom, the greatest kindness, the greatest patience of all. What does this world really have to offer you? In its deceits, in its malignity, in its folly. The best things of this world, friends, are dross by comparison with the wisdom and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. In him is solid treasure. In him are jewels beyond comparison. Seek him and turn to him while he may still be found. Oh, friends, what have you done with your soul? What have you done with your spirit? What have you done with your conscience? What have you done, friends, with his warning and his invitation? Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. I'd like to read the words of the psalmist where he says this: the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Can we conceive, friends, of a greater foolishness than this? To neglect our own creator, to neglect the one who made us for himself. Do you really think, friends, evolution's true? You really think that? You think that the first cell, a self-replicating, self-repairing entity, came out of a pile of slime? You really think that could happen in a billion years? Then you are a deceived person. Then you really are kidding yourself. Friends, there is an architect, a designer. Why do you think scientists borrow the ideas of nature again and again and again? Why do you think there's a whole field of science called biomimetics, drawn from the field of copying and mimicking, in a very basic and simple way, the ingenuity of our creator and designer? Why is that, friends? Why is nature not filled with battle machines? If everything was brought into being by the survival of the fittest, we'd expect nature to be a field of grey, a field of unclean and difficult war machines, but it isn't. It's full of the exuberance of an artist, full of beauty, full of the extravagance of diversity. Oh, friends, God makes his own way and his own hallmarks manifestly clear, so we're without excuse. In the day of judgment, we won't have a leg to stand on. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. We know it in our hearts, yet we love to make excuses. We love to stick our heads in the sand. We love friends. But ask any geneticist about the difference between a chimp and a human being, and you'll realise in the last 10 years that gulf has widened immeasurably. To say it could have been surpassed in a few million years is nonsense. The difference is vast. Not only the difference in the number of chromosomes, but the other problems are manifest. Oh, friends, evolution is a very poor excuse for neglecting the being and the call of the living God. Very poor. It's unscientific, it's unhelpful, and it's deceitful. We need his mercy. We need his power. Friends, we must go to him. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt and abominable they are, and the fruit of atheism is manifest in the things it produces. Look at the number of suicides. Look at the godlessness of our society. Look at the uncleanness upon uncleanness upon uncleanness generated by the neglect of God's glory, by the neglect of his being and his warning, by the neglect of his commands. Oh, friends, we've rejected wisdom and we've chosen death. Where's the benefit in that? Where's the outcome in that? Dear friends, we need to get wise. We need to wake up. We need to seek his wisdom and his kindness and his mercy. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt they are, abominable in the sight of the living God. Oh, friends, don't make excuses. Seek him. Turn to him. Ask him for light and for help and for understanding while he's still near at hand. Don't throw away your eternal soul. Don't throw away your opportunities. Don't throw away the very meaning and the purpose of life. Don't throw away his glory and his kindness. Seek him while he's still near at hand. We invite you to come along to Wood Hill, Sunday by Sunday. There you'll find a straightforward message from the scriptures by our pastor to help you seek and to find the Lord. And in him you'll find a fountain of life to wash you, to bless you, to give that inward solid joy of the friendship of God. Don't you know the Lord God as your friend like Abraham did, Al-Khalil? Don't you know, friends, the great kindness and mercy of the living God? Don't you know his goodness? But our friends, we sin against him. Our society has sinned against him. We've broken our promises, broken our covenants, broken our commitments, and we're reaping the fruit, the harvest of corruption sown by our fathers and our grandparents. We need mercy. We need kindness. We need his help. We need his repentance. We need his great gift. Where will you find it? Outside of the cross, outside of the Saviour, outside of his great goodness and patience. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. The psalmist says this: God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, if there were any that did seek after God. You know, God searches us. He looks at us. He weighs us. He considers our thoughts, sleeping and waking. He weighs us. He considers us. He probes us. He tests us. And oh, friends, what does he find in us? A great mess. A great shipwreck. In the living God, there is power to bless us and to wash us, to change us.
Bless you.
Bless you. Do you want to take that to your mum?
Bless you. God bless you.
God bless you.
This is for God.
This is from the Bible. Take that one to your mummy.
Can you give me one?
Yes, I can. Look after them. Don't throw them away. Give them to your parents. I won't give you any more. No, no. You can share them with your sisters. Oh, friend, God bless. In the Lord Jesus Christ, friends, there is power to bless us, to wash us, to change us. There's no one like him. No one like him for grace. He knows us. He knows the stinking mess of our hearts and our wreck. He knows the uncleanness of what we've done and what we've thought. He knows how filthy we are in the sight of heaven. But our friends, in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is power to wash us, to cleanse us, to change us. You know what the Lord Jesus said? He said, I haven't come to call sinners, the righteous to repentance, but sinners. And that's what we are, sinful men and women by nature. Solomon the king says,
can I ask you a question?
No, I'm not going to stop, I'm afraid, because I must preach to the people.
Why?
because I must. But if you read the Bible, you'll find many helpful answers there to your questions. God bless you, children. All our friends, seek him while he's still near at hand. Ask him for grace and for mercy. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is blessing and help and grace in time of real trouble, in time of real need. God will help us and bless us. But our friends, we must seek him on his terms, not on ours. You can't make deals with God. You can't, friends, just change things in your own direction. We need to seek him on his own terms. Humble ourselves and surrender ourselves to him. Oftentimes, like Lot and like other saints of old, we seek God on our own terms and might try and make deals with him, but it won't last. We need to come to him as he seeks us. Seek him in his righteousness. Seek him for his own priorities. Seek the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul. I'm sorry, Mum, I won't stop, but I would like, if I may, to give you a calendar for next year.
Hallelujah.
God bless.
Thank you, brother. God bless you.
God bless. Sorry, but I won't stop.
God be with you.
Oh, friends, we do need his grace. We do need his power and his washing. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Here again is what the psalmist said. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They're abominable. There is no one that does good. Oh, friends, where's the benefit in denying the glory and the kindness and the wonderful power and the sustaining help of the Lord God? We need his mercy. We need his washing. We need his change. We need his Holy Spirit. We're a million miles from God. By nature, we're his enemies, haters of God, haters of what's righteous and holy. In Christ, there is the one determined to bring us near. The one who lays his hand on our lapel, as it were, and says, come, follow me. Where's the benefit in a godless life, friends? Where's the outcome of a life of sin and unbelief? Where will it lead you? What harvest will you reap from a life sown to the flesh, sown to the senses, sown just to the here and now? The Lord warns us through his word. The one who sows to the flesh shall reap corruption, disappointment, heartache, and a bitter spirit. But the one who sows to the Spirit shall reap life and peace. In Christ is solid peace, solid righteousness, solid help. Oh, friends, don't go to the churches that speak smooth deceits. Don't go to the churches that will say confession, but never really change your heart. Don't go to the churches, friends, where they'll preach a deceit and a lie. Go to a place that warns you, that reproves you, that instructs you in the ways of the Scriptures. Doesn't add to the Scriptures, but certainly doesn't take away from them either. Go to a place where you hear God's word solidly confirmed and preached without the rough edges taken off. And ask him for life. Ask the living God for help, for life, for wisdom. In the wisdom of God is something more precious than gold, more vital than silver. In the wisdom and the knowledge of God is something more precious than jewels. Why, friends, would you waste your life on things of the earth, just on the here and now, not knowing his kindness, not knowing his presence, not knowing his wonderful power to bless us and to keep us? In Christ, there is power to bless and to wash and to warn. Oh, friends, why would you go with the crowd down to hell? Why would you go with the crowd down to judgment? Why would you go with the crowd down to banishment? Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Turn away from sin. Turn away from ungodliness. Turn away from the things you know God hates. From lying, from pride, from boasting, from gambling, from deceitfulness, from sex outside of marriage, from homosexuality, from a divorce, from adultery, from abortion. From the things you know God hates. You know the things that God despises and looks down on. But our friends, choose the things he cherishes. Choose the things that he cherishes. Ask him for light. Ask him for wisdom. Ask him for a humble spirit. Ask him, friends, for that bread of life in his word. What are you feeding your soul on this morning? The junk food of this generation? Something that will leave you discontented, hard-hearted, with your heart crooked and frail, broken-hearted on this life? Oh, friends, choose the real bread, the real meat, the love and the knowledge of the living God and a good conscience. Seek righteousness, seek wisdom, seek integrity. Turn away from sin. Watch out for the poor and the needy. Ask for righteousness and purity in your heart. Don't throw away your money. on things in your own content. Don't throw away your life on your own pleasures and your own satisfaction. Don't live for this life as though it's all you had, friends. Life is far too short to waste. Our lives are like a flower that flourishes and then fades. So quickly the wrinkles accumulate. So quickly the grey hairs multiply. So quickly we head down to the grave. You know, it's quite a good thing from time to time to walk through a graveyard and look at the lives of those who've lived and died and gone past, because that's exactly where we'll be very shortly. What is your life for? What is your life worth? How does God weigh it? How does God see it? But in Christ, there is the key of death. There is the gift of life and mercy. Ma'am, you're very kind, but I won't take it. Have you got a charity box here? No? Dear friends, I'd like to read just a few verses of the scriptures, words of invitation and words of extraordinary foresight. Hear the words of Isaiah the prophet about 730-740 years before the birth of the Saviour. And oh, friends, you couldn't read a clearer transcript of what took place at the cross than this. Over 700 years before his birth, and yet Isaiah is often called the fifth gospel. So clear, so plain, so precise are his descriptions, the theological undergirdings of what took place on the cross, that in many ways, friends, he's as good a gospel writer as the gospel writers themselves. Here is a prophet, a Hebrew prophet, a Jewish prophet, writing centuries before the advent of the Messiah, and yet he describes what Messiah does down to a T. And this is what he says: surely he has borne our griefs. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Oh, friends, here's what the Saviour has come to do. Not merely to lead a good example. Not merely to show good teaching. Not merely to show a life without blame and without any guilt or blemish. No, friends. He came to be a sin carrier, a sin bearer. He came to carry grief. He came to bear away sorrow from our hearts. But our friends, by nature, sin brings sorrow. Don't you know that? Sin brings heartache. Sin brings disgrace. It brings remorse. You go to an old people's home, look at the lives, speak to the people, and you see, friends, sin brings sorrow. Living for here and now, parting it up, brings sorrow, brings heartache, brings difficulty into our lives, fills our lives with difficulties and heartaches. But our friends, in Christ is the sorrow carrier. In Christ is the grief bearer. In Christ is the sin bearer. The Lord Jesus Christ came in order to redeem, in order to purchase for himself a people. What have you done with his warning? What have you done with his call? What have you done with his invitation? What have you done with his great kindness? Why do you think the Lord Jesus Christ died and rose? Why do you think he did that? He could have lived a life of comfort and ease. He might never have come. And yet he came with one express purpose: to die, to suffer. Why? He came in order to bear our griefs, to carry our sorrows. And yet we did esteem him stricken of God, smitten and afflicted. You know, if you live for sin, that's exactly where you'll end up. If you live for the here and now, live for the senses, live for your own pleasures, that's exactly where you'll end up: smitten, afflicted, and sorrowful. Don't you see it? Even now, working itself out, those who live for sin, live for pleasure, live for self, end up in exactly described by these three words: afflicted, sorrowful, and in trouble, stricken. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded, not for his own sin, for ours, if we go to him. He was wounded with our wounds. He bore the chastisement we deserve. He took in his own body and his own spirit the great debt that we owe. Do you realize where we'd be, friends, if we don't have the love of God, don't know repentance, don't know his goodness and his grace? We'd go to hell, we'd go to the fire, we'd go to judgment. It's what we deserve. Jacob, even the old patriarch, said, "We are not worthy of the least of your mercies." Jeremiah, the great prophet, a saintly man, said, "It's of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed." He included himself. Oh, friends, we deserve to go to hell. We deserve judgment. We deserve justice. Sometimes we say God is not fair. He's not giving us what we deserve. Ask him what you deserve, and I'm afraid you'll go straight to hell. It's what we earned. It's what we've deserved. But in Christ is the great sin bearer. It's why he came. He is the great Lamb of God, set to bless, set to heal, set to pardon and to forgive. In Christ is the one who bears our sorrows, carries our griefs. If only we go to him, if only we ask him, "Why have you hardened your heart against the living God?" Your own creator you've neglected. Your own sustainer, the one who holds your next heartbeat in his hands, you've despised and hated. Where's the benefit in that, friends? Where's the outcome of turning against your own sustainer? Where's the outcome of neglecting the Alpha and the Omega and snatching a few letters in the middle? Where's the benefit, friends, in neglecting the one who holds your heart, your breath, in his right hand? Where's the outcome of living for self? Living for selfishness, living foolishly, living carelessly. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Oh, friends, look at this glorious Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came in order to die, in order to pay, in order to carry what we could never carry. Look at the burden of sin. It's a mountain. It's a great burden we could never shoulder ourselves, not for ourselves and certainly not for another. No one else could carry our sin but Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. That great Saviour of sinners came to bless us, to heal us, to change us. In him.
Is that the Bible?
It is indeed, yes. It is indeed. What, you want a Bible? I haven't got any to give you, I'm afraid. Better follow your mum now. Better follow your mum. Honour your mother and father. Oh, friends, here is what the scripture says. All we like sheep have gone astray. Isn't that so true? We're like sheep, so easily led astray, so easily enticed, so easily seduced, so easily beguiled. We think ourselves to be wise. Perhaps we think of ourselves as wolves, but actually we're sheep. So easily beguiled, so easily led astray, so easily deceived. You know, the scriptures say in the last days men will become deceivers, worse and worse, deceiving themselves and being deceived in turn. Friends, if you live for lies, you get lied to. You lie to yourself as well as lying to others. I think it was Sir Walter Scott who said, "What a tangled web we weave the moment we begin to deceive." God bless you. Can I give you a calendar, please? Very quickly, for next year.
Thanks, God bless you. Pray for me.
What's your name?
David.
David, it's a good name. The beloved, you know, that's what it means?
Huh?
The beloved is what David means.
I know the story, I'm yeah. Christian.
Yes, good, good.
Okay. You are free to preach or you need to...
Of course, if they arrest
permits,
me...
Permits.
No permits. If they arrest me, so be it.
Jesus will protect you. Yeah.
But many of the streets here are named after preachers. You know, there have been preachers here for a long time.
Uh-huh, yes. Okay.
John Wilson was a preacher like this. John Wilson Street.
Okay. Yeah. The people know you.
They know me well. Yeah. Some of them hate me, but never mind.
God bless you.
The Lord loves them. Bye-bye, David. God bless. Oh, friends, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. Maybe your way seems better than the other, but it's still a sheepish path. It's still a path of your own choosing. It's still a path that leads to destruction. It's still a path that leads to heartache. and sorrow and eternal loss. All we like sheep have gone astray. Oh, friends, you may think yourself wise, but actually we're sheep, so easily seduced, so easily beguiled, so easily led astray by the enemy of our spirits. We need mercy. We need wisdom. We need insight. We need perception. What a rare thing it is today. What a rare thing it is to see the heart, see the spiritual realities, to see what life is really for, to see what really counts, to see what our priorities ought to be. What a rare thing it is to have spiritual sight. Oh, friends, in the land of the blind, it's said the one-eyed man is king. Is that not true? But our friends, how many of us even have one eye to see? We're blind by nature. All we like sheep have gone astray. But the Lord has laid on him, that great Lamb of God, the iniquity of us all. Go to him, friends. In Christ is not one niggardly, not one miserly, not one who holds back his blessings and confers them only by degrees. Oh, friends, he has a heart to bless us, a heart to warn us, a heart to call us, a heart to invite us to treasures and to riches, real and solid riches. You'll never know real happiness without holiness. You'll never know real contentment without that peace with God himself. Any peace with men, friends, is frail. It'll fall. It'll collapse. All our happiness rests in this, the knowledge of the living God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. If only we sought him, if only we turned to him, if only we asked him, if only we asked him, friends, for mercy and for grace and for power. Why would you live like a jellyfish? Why would you live spineless in this evil generation? Why would you live giving in to temptation, giving in to the vileness of the society around you, giving in to the tide of depravity and vileness around you? Wake up to wisdom. Wake up to righteousness. Wake up, friends, to self-denial and to strength. Sex outside of marriage wrecks the family, wounds the heart, spoils the children. We need his grace.
My children
we
are
need
not
his...
spoiled, and I have five children with one dad, and I'm not married to him. Please don't.
That is a great shame, madam. It wounds your family. It wounds you. The wisdom of God is greater and wiser than us. This is what the scriptures say about marriage. It says this: marriage is honourable in all, and the bed, that is sexual intercourse, undefiled. Adulterers and fornicators God will judge. Oh, friends, not my words, they're his words. We need mercy. We need wisdom. We need to turn away from wickedness and foolishness. We need to turn away from the things that will disgrace our family and our grandchildren. Seek wisdom. Seek grace. Turn to him for life and for grace while he's still near at hand. Ask him for mercy. Ask him for grace. Oh, friends, why have you wrecked your heart? Why have you spoiled your conscience? Why have you wrecked your copybook? Why have you lived against God? Why have you wrecked his laws? Why have you thrown them behind your back? Dear friends, seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Ask him for real understanding. Ask him for wisdom. Teach him to fear you. Ask him to teach you to fear him. Oh, friends, in him is life, real life. You know, everlasting life doesn't start when you die. Everlasting life starts now, the moment you begin to fear God, the moment you begin to walk with him, the moment you begin to love him with all your heart and strength. And you'll never know that without Christ. You'll never know that without the gift of the dear Saviour. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. What is life but to love God and to know him and to walk with him? If you live for yourself, live for your own pleasures, where will you end up, friends? What will happen to your heart? What will happen to that image of God within you? You're writing graffiti all over it. You're wrecking it. You're a vandal. You've destroyed the things that God has given you. You know it. Year on year, you're getting worse. Decade on decade, the image of God within you is becoming more defiled, more unclean, more diminished, more animal, more brutish, more bestial than it was before. Wake up to righteousness. Wake up to wisdom. Wake up to the command of God. Oh, friends, in the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the bee's knees. That's what it's about. To know God, to walk with him, in Christ, there is life, real life, the life of knowing God and following him. What have you done with your spirit? What have you done with your heart? What have you done with your eternal happiness? What have you done with your inheritance? What have you done with spiritual reality? What have you done with the warning and the call of God? Oh, friends, seek him. Turn to him. Ask him for grace. Ask him for light. Ask him for open eyes. Ask him for an understanding heart. Samuel was blessed in a generation of darkness and ignorance because the Lord spoke to him when he spoke to no one else. Oh, friends, listen to his word. Read his warnings. Read his instructions. Ask for the gift of the Spirit. Don't throw away your eternal destiny. Don't throw away your soul. Don't throw away your relationship with the living God. Seek him. Turn to him. Ask him for light and for mercy while there's still opportunity. Whatever your background, whatever you've done, whatever you've had done to you, more than anything else, get wisdom. Get understanding. Learn the fear of God. Understand, friends, what it is to please him and to know him. You'll never find real happiness, real contentment without holiness. You'll never know real peace without repentance. You'll never know real joy, real treasure, real spiritual treasure without the understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why he came, why he died, why he rose from the grave. Who else, friends, has the keys of hell? Who else has the power to unlock death? Only the Lord of life and the Lord of death. Only the King of the princes of the earth. Only the first begotten from the dead. Only the great Lamb of God. He alone has the keys of death and hell. Where is Muhammad? Where is Confucius? Where is Buddha? Where is Gautama Siddhartha? Where is Guru Nanak, friends? They're dead and buried and rotting and returning to the dust. Only Christ has risen from the dead. Only Christ lived a sinless life. Only Christ did works that no other man can do. Only Christ has the keys of death and hell. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Oh, friends, do you know the pearl of great price? Do you know the treasure of treasures? Do you know heaven unveiled to us? Go to the Saviour. Look at his works. Look at his words. Look at his miracles in minute detail. The more you look, the more you'll see. The more the detail you examine, the more full and fulsome you'll see the revelation of God's glory in his life and in his work. Oh, friends, Christ welcomes closer examination. He welcomes closer scrutiny. Unlike the lives of so many great men, the more you look, the more ugliness you find, the more vileness you find. Unlike the lives of so many great women, the more you look, the more disappointment you find. The reputation is good from a distance, but when you draw close, oh dear, what a mistake. What a sad disappointment. But it's not like that with Christ. The more you look, the more you study, the more you see, the more you survey, the more you worship this great King. There's no one like him, friends. No one like him. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the great Lamb of God, set to bless us, set to warn us, set to help us, set to deal with us. Oh, friends, what have you done with him? What have you done with his words and his grace? Don't be a fool. Don't be neglectful. Don't, friends, neglect your eternal happiness. Don't neglect the eternal gift of the living God. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. I'd like to finally read these words of Isaiah. He said this: he shall see of the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied. When Christ looks back in eternity, he looks at the travail, the ugly experiences he went through, he will be satisfied. He will be satisfied. Oh, friends, what is your life this morning? If you don't know his grace, don't know his great kindness. What is your life, friends, if you don't know the power of God and the mercy of God to wash you on the inside, to cleanse you, to lift you up out of a life of selfishness and self-service? What is your life, friends, if you don't know the wonderful gift of the living God? The Lord Jesus Christ died and rose from the grave. Why? In order to warn us, in order to call us. He alone has the keys of death and hell. Who else has overcome death? Who else has overcome sin? Who else has overcome temptation? Who else is the great king of righteousness? Every other man, every other woman sins. We are sinners by nature. Ugly and vile and foolish, puppeted by Satan, puppeted by our own flesh. We need his grace. We need his washing. We need his great goodness. Come to him for grace and for life, while he may still be found, for his sake. Amen. Thank you.